The scripture reading is Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 5. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, the water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the right side to the outer gate by the way of the gate that faces east. And behold, the water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water reaching the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 lengths and led me through the water reaching the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching the loins. Again he measured 1,000, and it was the river that could not ford, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, GCN viewing audiences, children of Sunday school, today is the Whit Sunday. One of our favorite hymns, The Comforter Has Come, has the following lyrics. O spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human awes abound, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. It is something joyous and thankful that the Holy Spirit has come to this earth. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord Jesus promised to send, came down upon the apostles and believers who were praying in the upper room of Mark. Since then, they preached the gospel of the Lord with the power of the Holy Spirit, without fearing persecutions or even death. It is because they had love and hope of heaven springing up from their heart through the Holy Spirit. Especially, the apostles healed those who were suffering from diseases and infirmities, and set free those who were suffering from evil spirits by the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel went beyond Israel and spread throughout Asia and Europe. The number of God's children who are saved was added daily. How does the Holy Spirit work in your lives? At this end time, you witness the powerful works of the Holy Spirit, and you live by the gospel, by the help of the Holy Spirit. You live just as 2 Timothy 1:14 says, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. What will be given to you as a result of living such a life? You will become true children of God the Father and be at the side of the Lord when He comes back, and you will enter into eternal heavenly dwelling place and enjoy glory and blessings forever. God the Father has sent to us the Holy Spirit, who lets us do the things that we cannot do on our own, and who lets us enjoy the things that we do not deserve. The Lord has opened the way for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit came to this earth for us. Let us give all thanks and glory to God the Trinity. I hope you will engrave this grace in your heart and rejoice and give thanks with your heart. This is the 19th session of the God Measures Faith series. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus explains about the kingdom of heaven with a parable. Verse 2 says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. But this feast was special in a certain way. Those who were invited didn't want to come. The king sent other servants to invite them again, but only in vain. They went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. So the king said to his servants, go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. Only after this was the feast now filled up with guests. However, because of the way the people were invited, some guests were evil people while others showed rudeness by not having the proper attire. In this parable, the king symbolizes the Father God. The Son refers to the Lord, who is our bridegroom. God the Father invited many people to the feast, namely to salvation. With all his best, he prepared for the feast and politely invited the people. I believe most of you have already joyfully responded to this invitation, haven't you? Is there anybody who is delaying your response because you are so caught up in worldly things? If that is the case, I hope you will respond to this invitation with joy and thanksgiving. Furthermore, I pray in the name of the Lord our bridegroom that you will later go to the feast wearing beautiful wedding clothes. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, viewing audiences, the tenth sin that deprives of salvation is to deceive servants of God and the Holy Spirit. You should understand what kinds of sins will lead you to be deprived of salvation. Before you enter elementary school, you should at least memorize the multiplication table. You should at least know about these 10 sins that deprive you of salvation. They must be engraved in your heart so that you will not even get close to such sins. You will not even get close to the shadows of those sins. So the 10th sin that deprives of salvation is to deceive servants of God and the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody who tries to cheat God from time to time? To this question, I believe all of you will say no. Brothers and sisters, if you say no, please raise your hands. Those who are not raising their hands, they are the ones who are trying to cheat God. To this question, I believe all of you will say no, but in fact, sometimes you do try to cheat God. Of course, as Job 13:9 says, or will you deceive him as one deceives a man? It is impossible to cheat God. Moreover, if you have faith that is as little as a mustard seed, you cannot even harbor such a thought. If you didn't raise your hand, it means you don't even have faith as small as a mustard seed. How can you try to cheat God, the Almighty, the Lord of hosts? But sometimes there are people who try to cheat God. And today, many people try to cheat God in many ways. Some people, they begin a 21-day fasting and they stop. You know, it's a vow before God that you will do a 21-day fasting. And if you stop, then it means you break your promise. You break your vow before God. Some people say, I will not cease to pray. I will not skip any prayer meeting. I will not skip prayers. But they stop. And they cheat God in so many ways. So which means, how can you receive any answer from God? And how can you stand on the rock of faith? Just having the thought of cheating God is something so shameful. What I try to explain today is about deceiving the Holy Spirit by deceiving a servant of God whom God is with. This is same as trying to cheat or deceive God. The latter part of Revelation 21:8 says, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So which means in the lower grave, it is the fourth level because it's the brimstone. If you go to hell, there will be the deepest part of, the most painful part of hell, which is the lake of brimstone, lake of sulfur. So it's such a great sin to cheat God. Cheating other people with lies will bring about such a fearful outcome. And how much more would it be if you cheat God? It is a proof that you do not believe that God is surely alive and that He is the Almighty who searches the hearts of men. So it means you don't even have faith as small as a mustard seed. If you do have faith, you cannot dare cheat God. Also, I mentioned in the previous session that to stand against the true man of God is same as to stand against God Himself. Likewise, to cheat God's servant whom God is with and to cheat the Holy Spirit is the same as trying to cheat God. Here, God's servant whom God is with refers to a servant with whom the evidence of God being with him follows. There are many servants of God, yes, millions of servants of God. But it doesn't apply to every single servant of God. It applies to the servant whom God is with, with whom the evidence of God being with him follows. There are so many hired hands, and it's not the case with those hired hands and false prophets, false servants of God. But in case of true servants of God, with whom the evidence of God being with him follows, if you cheat them, it is same as cheating God. The evidence manifested is the power of God. This power is authoritative power, which belongs solely to God. In the Bible, the prophets and apostles, whom God is with, manifested the works of power, namely in signs and wonders. For example, Mark 16:20 says, "And they went out and preached everywhere." While the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. Of course, there were other disciples other than the 12. So the Lord confirmed the word by the signs that followed. The signs confirmed that the word preached was true. The word that was preached by the disciples was confirmed by the signs that followed so that the people could believe. Because the words that are preached by the servants of God who manifest the power of God are true, so one must believe these words. Brothers and sisters, now why would some people try to deceive God's servants and the Holy Spirit? In most cases, it is to gain personal advantage or profit, or it is to cover up their iniquities. Through the two biblical events that I'm going to talk about, I hope you will realize how foolish it is to try to deceive God and what kind of outcome could result from it. In Acts chapter 5, we see a married couple who fell into destruction after cheating the apostles. They were Ananias and Sapphira. They vowed to sell a piece of their property and give the sales price to the church. But due to their greed, they vowed to sell their own property and give to the church. But due to their greed, they kept back some of the price. They vowed to sell the piece of their property and give the whole thing to the church. But they thought it was wasteful, and they kept some of it and they gave only some part of it. But because they vowed to give it, it already belonged to God, but they kept some of it to themselves. They brought a portion of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter rebuked them. Acts 5:3 says, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land?" Latter part of verse 4 says, why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Verse 5 says, that as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and died. They were cheating Peter, who was a man. But God says they were cheating God. They were cheating the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Peter was a powerful servant of God. God is with those servants of God who manifest the power of God. The Lord works with them. The Holy Spirit is working with them, in them. That is why God says they cheated the Holy Spirit and God. Because God is with them, they manifest the power of God, signs and wonders. If God is not with them, there will be no works manifested. If God forsakes me or turns his face away from me, there will be no works being manifested. There are so many works taking place in case of those who come from other countries. Just by one prayer, depression and so many other diseases, just to leave them. Soon, it'll be for you too. Not now, but soon when I recover my energy and have a healing session, it'll be such a small place here. It won't be able to accommodate so many people whom you will invite, your friends and relatives. And almost most kinds of diseases will be healed. Even cancers, your bad eyesight. If you just repent, if you just break down the wall of sin, most of you will be healed, almost 100%. Sapphira came to the apostles later and lied to the apostles just like her husband, and she also fell and died. To fall down dead means they were not saved. If they were saved, the Bible will say their spirit left. But if, because it says they fell down dead, fell and died, it means they were not saved. Brothers and sisters, if Ananias and Sapphira had a chance to defend themselves, they might have said they were only lying to the apostles who are just men. But in spiritual sense, as Peter said, their hearts were taken by Satan. Namely, they were incited by Satan to harbor greed and deceive a servant of God. They were cheating because they were taken by Satan. Their hearts were filled with Satan. They were cheating a servant of God and God himself. Because of greed and selfish desires. Those who had greed, in the Bible you cannot see any case where they were saved having greed. That is why you have to be very careful. Those who are doing insurance sales, you must not have any greed. If you are giving offerings, a tithe of $1,000, you must be so thankful. Other people, usually they are $200, $300, or $400 tithe. And if you're giving $1,000 tithe, it is so much. And if you become too greedy, of course you can increase your amount of tithe with faith, walking the right way, walking the righteous way, pleasing God, longing to go into spirit. And if you receive blessings of God, and if you increase your tithe that way, it is good. But if you try to cheat God, if you cheat others, and if you are not walking the right way, and if you are committing sins, and if you just want to get more income, and if you are breaking peace, and if you want to get more and more income, it is greed. It's got nothing to do with God. So in spiritual senses, Peter said, their hearts were taken by Satan, and they were incited by Satan to harbor greed and deceive a servant of God. Peter especially was an apostle with God's power with whom the Holy Spirit worked. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, he immediately sensed that Ananias and Sapphira were telling a lie. If you manifest the power of God, it means you manifest the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Does a man can a man do that? If man can do that, he will be God himself. But it's not a man who manifests the power of God. Holy Spirit works with them so that the power of God will be manifested. It's the same with signs and wonders. So you should understand, you should have proper understanding about these things. That is why Peter said Ananias was not lying to him, but to the Holy Spirit. Peter said, you didn't cheat me, but the Holy Spirit. Ananias, in the sight of Ananias, he was cheating Peter. But Peter says, you deceived the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was with Peter. Their hearts were so evil that they immediately fell down dead without getting a chance to turn from their ways. Their action was such an evil act that put them outside the boundary of salvation. If you cheat, it is such an evil act. If you have faith as little as mustard seed, you have no reason to cheat me, or you can never dare cheat me. God said one time, Ananias and Sapphira, they fell down dead immediately. And today, if the pastors cheat me, do they just die? No, they are still alive. And God is explaining, if they fall down and die, like Ananias, just a few of them will survive. Because it's the word. God is just it is a warning that is in the Bible about Ananias and Sapphira. This case is a warning to everybody. They must be conscious, and if they are not conscious, and if they keep on trying to cheat, if they cheat, their end will be destruction and death. God is giving them a chance to turn from ways. By learning from this example, if God just punishes them right away, they wouldn't even know why they are dead, why they die. That is why there is a warning in the Bible that the one must not cheat God or God's servants. And today God is giving you many chances to repent. As you read the Bible, as you read this part, you'll have a chance to repent. We have to keep in mind that not only greed, but also deceiving God's servant who shows the works of the Holy Spirit is such an evil act. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we can find a similar case in 2 Kings chapter 5. It is the story about Gehazi, a servant of the prophet Elisha. His eyes were blinded by greed, and he lied to a man of God, Elisha. At that time, Naaman, an army general of Aram, Israel's neighboring country, received complete healing of his leprosy by obeying the word of Elisha. He was so thankful that he came back to Elisha with the offerings he had brought with him. Elisha did not accept anything from him and just sent him back. But Gehazi had greed for those good things. He followed the group of Naaman's people and asked for some gifts using the name of Elisha. 2 Kings 5:22 says, "My master has sent me, saying, 'Behold, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of clothes.'" He received the gifts by lying to them, hid the things, and pretended as though nothing happened.
He was
lying. He was actually cheating himself, and as if he was telling a lie, that as if Elisha was asking for the gifts. When Elisha asked him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" he lied, saying, "Your servant went nowhere." He served Elisha for such a long time, but he didn't even realize what kind of person he was serving. Elisha knew even the contents of the conversation between the king and ministers of a hostile country that they had in the bedroom of the king. Gehazi was so foolish that he tried to deceive such a person as Elisha. Elisha gave him a chance to confess what he did and repent, but he hid his crime. But Elisha knew exactly what Gehazi did, as if he had seen it with his own eyes. When Elisha mentioned it and spoke the words of a curse, Gehazi became leprous. Gehazi was very foolish. How many great and amazing works of God had he seen while following Elisha? Nevertheless, he did not revere God or the man of God. But rather, he harbored greed in his heart, and after all, he deceived the man of God. And in doing so, he tried to deceive God. He was cursed for this reason. He was also separated from God. Brothers and sisters, those who fear God will not disregard anything that is related to God, such as the church and the things in the church. They cannot deal with them at their personal discretion. So in my case, I have a right to use some of the church finances because I am the pastor here, but I've never used even a penny from the church offerings. Not even $10. I've never used any money of the church. I've never touched anything of God until now. But God, I know God will not dislike if I, even if I use the church money for proper use. God will not dislike it. It is okay. But my heart is that I don't want to spend any money of God. I want to keep it that way. So I never touch the money of God from the church. Even for my Gethsemane prayer house, even for Galilee prayer house, I never used any money from the church. So because God knows this, God blesses me more because I don't want to use any God's money. God works through somebody else, some other people. And when I buy my car, I never used church money to buy my car. Or even for repairs, I've never spent any money from the church. But because God knows this, God gives me abundantly. How will such people treat God's servants who clearly communicate with God and who manifest works of the Holy Spirit? They should love them with the love of God, and they should cherish them as they cherish the Lord. How could they ever think of deceiving them? They could never do so. Especially, they can never cheat God, the Lord, or the Holy Spirit, and they cannot cheat God, God's servants whom God is with. In the Bible, both in Old and New Testaments, they tell us that we must not cheat God's servants. As we've seen from the previous events, both the Old Testament and the New Testament explicitly tell us about the consequences of deceiving God's servants and the Holy Spirit. So many church members, they had got diseases and they came to receive my prayer. And also, there are other church members, other pastors from other churches and members from other churches. But in most cases, they cheat me, and that is why they cannot be healed. They have to honestly tell me everything. confess everything. If they really believe that I'm a man of God, they have to confess everything. But they think, they consider me as just a man. And so they cheat me. But I understand about the members and church pastors from other countries. But our own members, they cheat me in most cases. You know, because they committed sins that they don't really want to talk about. Nevertheless, they have to confess everything. But if they hide their sins, even after repenting, they cannot be healed. So when they are not healed, they come again and repent again, the things that they didn't repent before. But they still hide something. And later, only after they confess every single sin they committed, then they are healed. So the contents they try to hide, you know, I understand they are the things that they can't really talk about. But if you hear those things, you will just shake your hands. That is why they try to hide their sins from their shepherd. But only after they can't be healed, only after they realize they can't be healed. If they realized it earlier, they could have been healed earlier, but in any disease, in case of diseases always come from sins. Diseases, because they commit, even the worldly people, unbelievers, diseases come because of sins. There are so many cancers, and even there nowadays, there are many tuberculosis of lungs. Because even the unbelievers, they committed sins leading to death, they get the diseases leading to death. And believers too, when they committed sins leading to death, they get these diseases, such diseases, because who gets into more serious cases? The believers, because the Bible says if you knowingly commit sins, the sin is greater. So you have to get the greater diseases, more serious diseases, because you committed those sins knowing their sins. But in case of unbelievers, according to their sins, they receive the same retribution. But the believers are at a better terms, because if they can repent, they can be healed. But that is not easy either, because if you committed sins leading to death, God doesn't give you the spirit of repentance. So it's a problem. You cannot really repent. But God might give you the spirit of repentance. If you really cling to God and earnestly pray to God, and if your family members together, if you rend your heart and really repent from the heart, and not even being able to look up to the sky, then if you repent with such sincere heart, then God can be touched and God can give you the spirit of repentance. And if you receive it, that you can be healed. But it's a very rare case that you can repent that way, because their heart is so evil already. Even if I speak to them, give them advice, and not just the shedding tears and having runny nose is not true repentance. If you have to really repent from the heart, and you have to realize that you caused so many troubles for yourself and for your family members and people around you, and you have to realize that you are such an abominable person, detestable person in the sight of God, and that you committed such grave sins leading to death. If you really repent from the heart, God might give you the spirit of repentance and forgive you. Nevertheless, they cannot really repent that way. The kind of repentance that God gives, you know, other people can just see it. You know, they will really cry from the heart, weep from the heart. shedding so many tears and burning nose. I disgraced God so much. I trampled on the word of God and saying, I believe. How could I do such evil acts? And they have to tear their heart, rend their heart so much. And if the family members can also repent that way, God will give them spirit of repentance. But it's a rarity because they cannot repent that way. Those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit, they have to repent that way before me. But especially unbelievers, your relatives, will they repent that way? They can't. And after all, they will just die according to their sins. Even if their sins are not revealed before people on this earth, all their actions will be revealed at the court of the final judgment. They will certainly receive the punishment. I hope you will surely remember this. Learn the lessons from Ananias and Sapphira and Gehazi and be conscious of such evil. And if I pray for something and if I don't get the answer, I feel troubled in my heart and I pray to the Father. Father, is there any wall or barrier between you and me if I committed any something unknowingly? Let me know. And God's word is always the same. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't commit any sins. You didn't violate any law of God. You never disappointed me. And such things do not happen because of your sins. It's for your blessings. It's for your church members' blessings. Because of your suffering, peace will come upon your church members. Because of your sufferings, wealth will come upon your church members. Because you cannot see properly, all these things will be blessings for the church members. And because that is the law of justice, you are taking the burden. So to fill up the measure of justice, you are suffering all those things. It's not because of your sins. You do not have any blemish or spot in my sight. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, viewing audiences, the 11th sin depriving of salvation is not to wash our robes. In the Bible, many times we encounter passages that liken our heart to garments. Revelation 3:4 says, "But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Revelation 22:14 says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city." Here, the garment and robe refer to the hearts of men in a spiritual sense, hearts of men. Therefore, not to soil their garment means that they did not stain their heart with sins after they received forgiveness by accepting the Lord. To wash our robes symbolizes cleaning out the stains, namely the evil of our heart, to make it clean. Another expression for this is to circumcise our heart. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, the first part says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem." Circumcision was a ritual to be set apart as God's people by cutting off the foreskin of a man. It was a ritual to make themselves holy in outward deeds by cutting off the foreskin that can easily become contaminated by urine. But God tells us to accomplish circumcision of our hearts. Today is not the Old Testament, so we have to circumcise our hearts. In the Old Testament, they had to circumcise their body and also their heart. But in the Old Testament, we don't have to do the body circumcision, but we have to circumcise our heart. This means we have to cut off the part of the skin of our heart that is stained by sins and gives out the foul odor to make our heart clean. In the Old Testament, they circumcised the body because it'll stink. It is dirt. It'll be dirty. So by circumcising, all men will understand this. Because when it's covered by the foreskin, after 1 or 2 days, it gives out foul odor. So you have to wash it very often. So you have to wash out, clean out what is in your heart, the dirty part of your heart. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, the latter part says, "Or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds." Easily stated, without the circumcision of heart, we have to go into the fire and burn with nothing to quench it, which is in hell. Of course, this does not mean we have to circumcise our heart perfectly to receive salvation. Even if it is a little slow, as long as we circumcise our heart to sanctify it, we can receive salvation even though it is not perfectly completed. But if we circumcise it perfectly, it'll be so good you go to New Jerusalem. To the extent we have accomplished circumcision of the heart, we can go into the different levels of the heavenly dwelling places, such as the paradise, the first kingdom of heaven, or New Jerusalem. Here, not to circumcise one's heart means to cease to circumcise it over a long period of time. Also, reversely, it is to stain the heart with sins again. Brothers and sisters, as I mentioned in the beginning of this message, Matthew chapter 22 also talks about how important it is to wash our robes. The king went to see the guests at the feast and saw a man who did not have proper attire. The king asked him, "Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Why don't you reason about this? When you go to the feast, it is proper and within decorum to wear at least neat and clean clothes, though they might not be so fancy and luxurious. So when we attend worship service, it is always a feast before God. It is same as having a God's feast. Through the message and praise, and we pray and we give glory to God. And there are people who do not wear proper attire, not in our church, but in other churches. And they come in t-shirts, and sometimes they just wear t-shirts and jeans. And even those who are singing praises on the altar, they wear t-shirts and jeans, and God is watching them. Will God listen to their praises? They are coming into the sanctuary of God, and they don't even have the proper attire. And of course, they will go to other feasts in proper attires, in suits and evening dress and party dress. And how can we say they have faith if they dishonor God that way? When I watch GCN, even men, women, children, little children, they have proper attire, and they come to the house of God to listen to the word of God, to pray to God and to praise Him. And I feel so happy. And even the women, they try to clean and hanbok, Korean traditional clothes, or clean suit. And most men, they are in suit, and even when they pray, they put on the white shirt. And that is something to be praised. That is something worthy of praise. And as if they had promised, in some devotional service, sometimes they wear all white suits. And all these things, God will be pleased. God is pleased with the white robe. white garments. Not preparing the wedding clothes means this guest was very discourteous by going to a feast without having the most basic preparations. And who is the host of this feast? It is the king. And he is a king who loves his people. God the Father also invited us to a precious feast which we could never begin to dream about. Namely, God gave us the right to take part in the feast by sacrificing Jesus on the cross. And what if we just wear dirty and shabby clothes that we always wear and go to the feast without making any preparations? Can we say we value the invitation at all? Such people should realize that just because they are invited to the feast, they cannot be chosen as the guests. As said in Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. As you hear such verse, maybe you'll feel burdened. After working in your workplace, maybe you don't have a time to change. For Wednesday or Daniel prayer meeting, it is okay. God knows if you come right directly from your work, you don't have time to go home and change clothes. But maybe if in case of Daniel prayer meeting is because it's long, maybe the wife can prepare something. And in Canaan Sanctuary, we'll have to make all those things, you know, change rooms. And so when they come to from the work right away, they, even for the Wednesday service, if they can do that, you know, it's better. But if they're going to be late, if they stop by at home, God will not say it is bad. So you understand different situations. Brothers and sisters, today, many of those who go to church lead a life in faith, just in formality, without having an understanding that they need to circumcise their heart. They might focus on external deeds such as worship service, prayers, and social service, but they neglect to cast away evil from their hearts. When I was speaking in different revival meetings, I always talk about sanctification and holiness for 1 hour, and that you get eternal life only by eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of Man. The pastors don't like it so much because they fear that the church members don't like it and not come back for the next session. So some pastors ask me, because I was preaching in revival meetings, as a pastor, your church is having a revival, and if you preach this kind of message, the church members do not leave? Why would they leave? The church members, they cast it's a message to let them cast away sins and to lead them to salvation. And they kind of become doubtful. Other pastors, they can preach this kind of message and the church members leave. You know, this is not the only church you can attend. You know, today it's going to be even more. So that's why they cannot really preach the gospel of holiness. If I preach this kind of message, many new believers, they will just leave. You know, you can't even talk on the telephone between men and women, and you have to wear this proper attire, proper clothes. Of course, they are right, and they are something that you have to do. But this is the way of salvation. It is to honor God, it is to love God, and that is the way of salvation. In Israel, many pastors, they were taught by my messages, and they don't wear black clothes, they don't have any black cars, they put on the suits, and they learn. The churches there are learning from our examples. And anyway, deficiencies of the body. You know, if the pastors, the Israeli pastors, they are learning about these deficiencies of the body. They are following my teachings. Before, they were wearing t-shirts in the church, but they always put on a suit with a tie. And the church members follow the same way. And they were walking like this, you know, putting their belly up, but they lose weight to be to wear proper clothes in the sight of God. Some, one of the pastors, he couldn't wear any suits because he was too obese, and he couldn't even sit properly. He was that big, and his wife was not as big. I mean, she was slim. But she was in charge of the bodyguard of the president, but he lost so many tens of kilograms. And his dream, he says, is to be a bodyguard of me, you know, even though he is pastoring a church. But that is why he is losing a lot of weight. The security members, they... And when they face a problem, the evil in their heart is agitated, and eventually they leave the Lord or the church. Or they just remain as scribes and Pharisees who are hypocritical. Even though we strictly keep the law in outward deeds, we should remember that it is very difficult to receive salvation if we keep committing filthy sins and inputting evil in our hearts. It's because we are saved by spiritual faith that comes from the heart and not by outward deeds. What do we believe? We believe that the Lord took the red cross for our sins. If we believe this fact from the heart, we will try not to commit sins anymore. We not only stop committing sins in action, but also we try to pull out the roots of sins and evil from our heart. Of course, some people might say they certainly believe in the Lord while not casting away sins. But if their faith is not accompanied with deeds, we cannot say they have true faith. Today, when we put the focus on the deeds of faith, those who do not understand the truth properly might accuse us saying it is legalistic. But legalism is to regard only the outward deeds without having any love for God. There should not be any misunderstanding about this. Also, it is very biblical to put our emphasis on the deeds of faith. James 2:22 says, "You see that faith was working with its works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Therefore, I hope you will quickly wash your robes, namely circumcise your heart and keep the word of God, thereby preparing beautiful wedding clothes. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will definitely participate in the feast of salvation to which God the Father has invited you." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me conclude the message. Revelation 20:14 says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." But Revelation 22:15 says, "Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying." What a contrast they are. I hope you will not just diligently wash your robes, but also try not to get anything dirty on them again. In doing so, I hope that you will pass through the gates of the paradise, first kingdom, second kingdom, and the third kingdoms of heaven, and enter into the city of New Jerusalem. I urge you in the name of the Lord that you will be invited as honored guests, not just for the wedding banquet in the air, but also to the banquet in New Jerusalem. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Father God, thank you. Let this message become life and faith. Father, touch them and bless them. What kind of life we should lead as to what kind of holy life we should lead. Let us learn through the message. We are hearing through the message. Let us circumcise our heart, wash our robes, and let us become proper children in your sight. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick. Father God, lay your hands on sick parts. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. All germs and viruses go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. All diseases, germs, go away. Missionary Bat Jorig of Mongolia wants to get the Korea visa for the summer retreat. Dokikuni Kazumi, fourth stage of thyroid cancer. Watanabe Yumi, sinusitis, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Who, Ami Church, Fan Church and Fan Prayer Center, let the church be protected safely, protected with the heavenly hosts and angels. Chun Wan Mo, lung cancer and pancreatic cancer, be healed by the fire of the Lord. Kim Jong-hae, after effect of spinal fracture, be healed. Chun Wai Chin, high blood pressure, chronic rhinitis, be healed. Wei Hong Yan, cervical mucous multiple tumor and uterine myoma, be healed. Zhang Wei Yi, high blood pressures. Xu Hua Ji, hyperthyroidism, be healed. Cheng Hui wants to deliver a baby well. Wang Sun Yo, right hand fracture. Zhou Dong Su, chronic scrotum eczema. Athlete's foot, be healed. Kim Jong Suk, cerebral hemorrhage, high blood pressure, lumbar disorder, arthritis, memory deficit, be healed. Liu Ling Jin, allergic rhinitis. Hemorrhoids, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Piles, be healed. Cheng Wai Shang, walking disorder, and Shun Shu Shang, scleroma, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Liu Wei, mental disease. Duan Zhuozi, Feng Wen, for their real estate to be sold. Wen Su Jing, for the registration. Registration and to get the visa to Korea. Zhang In Li, to enter the high school. She wants her Ping Wang Gui Luan, leg pain, He Shan in He Yi, bronchitis and rhinitis, reading, spleen and stomach disease, Pak Myung Na, depression, Han Il, computer games, addiction. Zhang Jin Wan, skin disease. Kim Gil Ok wants to buy a house. Father, from head to toe, all internal cells and nerves and tissues burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Cleanse them. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the stomach, liver, intestines and all internal organs be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. All skin diseases go away. Light come. All lung diseases go away. Father, touch them and heal them. Protect them throughout this week. Protect all church vehicles and church members' vehicles. And protect all the drivers. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.